Chance of showers in the afternoon.
Chance of showers, ladies and gentlemen, in the afternoon. Daryl Bradford Smith here for your second hour of the French Connection. I'm coming to you live and direct from my little farmhouse in central France. And it's about 11:06 over here in the evening time. And we've been having a conversation about just how this the machinations of our media structure are really destroying or the underpinnings of our moral compass. And the moral compass in America is it's certainly not pointing in the right direction there, Ted. And it's almost I think it's done by design. And you want to start talking about how you in your lifetime have seen how they, you know, what was okay in 1960 was, you know, they pushed the limit, and then they made it even more of a limit in the 70s, and more of a limit. And now it seems like the year 2006, you can have anything on TV, wife swap shows. I mean, it looks like all the restraints of good judgment and morality have been taken off these folks. Where are we heading?
Well, we are headed to only worse. Blasphemy and reviling of all our moral underpinnings of society, unless we do a very courageous thing, and that is to speak out and identify those people who are behind all of this. And by identify that, unfortunately, we have to give their racial identity rather than referring to them as, you know, media moguls or secular humanists in the media, all those kinds of vague terms. The time has come when we have to say that the media is Jewish. Now, there was an extensive poll taken about 15 years ago by Lichter and Rothman, both of whom were Jewish. They found that 59% of top media officials in the media, in the television media, movie media, and so on, were Jewish. They were raised in the Jewish religion. Now, the fact is that the Jews comprise only 2.5% of the American population, but almost 6 out of 10 top media officials are Jewish. Now, what we have to do is talk show hosts, pastors, people of any members of conservative clubs and organizations, those who have internet access and can send out emails and post things on the internet, we have to do the very simple task of identifying these people as members of the Jewish race, not necessarily of the Jewish religion, but there is a pattern here which the American people must know about. Now, I had a very, very interesting experiment which I undertook back around the late 1980s. MCA, which was the huge Jewish production movie and television production facility in California, they put out the super mega blasphemous movie, The Last Temptation of Christ, and it got the whole nation up in arms, especially the Christian community. And Jerry Falwell rendered a great service to the nation. He made a public statement which registered with almost every pastor in the United States. He made the statement that unless those of MCA pulled back and canceled the promotion of The Last Temptation of Christ, he said it would cause a wave of anti-Semitism. Well, everybody knew what he was talking about. He was basically saying that the Jews, evil Jews, were behind The Last Temptation film, and he basically identified, informed every pastor in America that the Jews were out to trash Jesus Christ, Christianity, and Christian institutions. But when I heard Jerry Falwell make that national statement, I saw a golden opportunity. So I cooked up a very powerful brochure thoroughly documenting the Jewish ownership and production of The Last Temptation of Christ. And our national prayer network sent that out to 192,000 evangelical pastors in America. And boy, did that resonate. In fact, I only got 5 negative letters, unbelievably, 5 negative letters out of 192,000 pastors.
You remember, Ted, the Andrew Lloyd Webber production of Jesus Christ Superstar?
Yeah.
That didn't go over very well for its accuracy or its lack of respect for values within the Christian community as well, either, did it?
It certainly didn't, but I think...
And that was also from a... that was penned and produced and promoted by the same group.
Yeah. But here's what happened. The Jewish community was frightened. The Jewish community was embarrassed by what their brethren in Hollywood were doing against the Christian church in America. And about 10 years later, I read in the Portland Oregonian an article by a national Jewish leader, and he was lamenting that the Last Temptation of Christ was the biggest public relation disaster between Christians and Jews during the 20th century. Now, it wouldn't have been a disaster if the Jews of MCA had the Christians behave as they had always behaved, you know, referring to them in Hollywood in these nebulous, spacey, unclear, indefinable terms, which they expect to be regarded with. Instead, what Jerry Falwell and I basically did was we launched a tremendous education program becoming very specific, informing tens of thousands of Christian opinion makers exactly the racial identity of those behind the Last Temptation of Christ. Now, what this did was it put the brakes on even more blasphemous films, which MCA was promising in the years ahead. And so a film as blasphemous as The Last Temptation of Christ has not been repeated since the late 1980s. Of course, there's a lot of this stuff, a lot of trash going around, but nothing has been repeated as they promised it would be repeated because we became specific. Now, that's why I'm calling for people like Donald Wildman, head of the American Family Association, Jerry Falwell, Concerned Women for America, and so on, to break the mold now and do what Jerry Falwell did and basically state to their constituents that this is a largely Jewish attack on Christian values. You know what will happen there? The Jewish community in America will respond exactly the same. They will go to their Jewish brethren in Hollywood and they will say, back off, knock it off. We cannot take a chance on the Jewish religion and the Jewish people of America becoming indicted now for anti-Semitism and Christian bashing. And very interestingly, I believe that the clout of the Jewish people to bring their Jewish brethren in Hollywood to heel is enormous. It could be very much greater than even the petitions and phone calls and emails of millions of Christians to these Jewish studios.
Well, I've got to be honest with you. I don't know that the Christian community leadership is really on the side of truth these days. They seem to have been bought and paid for by this very same group, Ted. And I don't mean to cast too many stones here, but I'm reading them like I see them here.
Yes.
And I'll tell you something. They're not fighting the good fight. They certainly are not.
Well, if their past behavior over the last century is any index, I agree with you. But on the other hand, what I'm doing on alternative talk radio is I am making exactly that recommendation that unless we can put real pressure on these evil Jewish leaders, not only in this kind of programming, but also concerning the hate laws issue as they're trying to take away freedom of speech from Christians around the world, that is the only workable way to pull them back. And as I say, I speak from experience. We saw how effectively this happened in the late 1980s.
Well, you know, I want to make sure that everyone knows that we are speaking about the leadership here and not
yes.
the rank-and-file members of the Jewish community because, again, many of my friends come from that community and I know that they're not on board with these kind of terrible moral illnesses being cast upon them. And, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. French Connections Wednesday edition here on the 18th of January. Daryl Bradford Smith, your host. You know, we're going to get right back into this, Ted. I mean, we've got Sumner Redstone. We've got the he's at Viacom. We've got the Levine over at Time Warner, and we've got Mort Zuckerman over there and his little empire and U.S. News, and the list goes on and on. We Cy Newhouse over there at his empire with his brother, and they've even gotten into all of our textbooks, Ted.
Yes.
And we are almost in every area of our nation under this control of this evil group of people. And what is their goal, Ted?
Well, basically, I believe it goes back, as we talked about earlier in this program, to a basic rivalry with Christianity. Now, we might think that we could explain everything that's wrong with the world today according to events in modern times, but the fact is that there was a tremendous parting of the ways 2,000 years ago when the Pharisees had Jesus Christ crucified, and the Jewish people decided to follow the advice and the guidance of the Pharisees rather than that of their true Messiah, Jesus Christ. And when the Jews were expelled from Palestine around 132 A.D., after an abortive attempt to establish a false Messiah, they all went back to Babylon. And there, for another 1,000 years, the great Babylonian Talmud was created, the Zohar or Kabbalah were created, and these became the greatest ethical, legal, and moral guides for observant Jews for all times. And therefore, we find Lawrence Tisch, head of CBS, holding Talmud studies every Monday morning in his executive offices of CBS. We find people in very high places in the media who are promoting Kabbalah, promoting the Zohar, enlisting popular movie stars to dramatize.
Yeah, even Madonna's out there peddling the Kabbalah.
Right. There's just no getting away from it that the ecumenical movement of the 20th century has failed. The ancient motivations deep within the Talmud, deep within the Kabbalah, are still very alive in the top stories of the tallest executive skyscrapers in New York and Chicago and Los Angeles and so on. There is a rivalry here basically for who's going to basically dominate and influence the world during the coming century.
Well, I'm opening up the phone lines to callers if they've got specific questions for Ted regarding this history, because I know there are people who are very well studied on these subjects, Ted, and they probably have some very pointed questions regarding how this is really a battle between this group of humans on the one hand with powerful money, powerful media, powerful deception under their controls, and then a group of people who, generally speaking, believe that God is not a jealous God, but a forgiving God. We have a different take on what God is, don't we?
Yes, Wes, we certainly do. And within Christianity, there are really no evidences of racism. If we look through the New Testament record, we find Paul calling for a breakdown of all barriers according to sex and race and so on. There's neither bond nor slave or male or female or Jew or Gentile. He says there's an egalitarian quality about Christianity which welcomes and gathers in all races of the world under the authority of Jesus Christ. But that's not true of rabbinic Judaism. And by rabbinic, I mean the Judaism of the rabbis, which we have described as so racistic and isolationist and xenophobic against Gentiles and against Christians. And this isolation has continued through the millennia to make the Jews a race apart, keeping them basically cloistered despite their tremendous influence upon society. They still, in their evil Jewish leadership, have a mentality that it's us against the Gentiles, us against the Christians. And therefore we find it's kind of like a boil. There's something underneath it. These evil movies, these outrages, these attacks, litigation and so on, hate laws, legislation, all this stuff periodically breaks forth at like boils because there's so much underneath there. And in order to stop this outbreak of these boils and these initiatives by these evil Jewish leaders, we have to, as I have said, boldly call them for what they are. And as I mentioned earlier, I believe that the Jewish people, especially in America, who are so assimilated and think very kindly, really, of Christians, can be a very powerful ally to us if they are made uncomfortable and made embarrassed by the identification of their evil Jewish leaders in Hollywood, they can get to them. One way or another, they can help put the brakes on this Antichrist agenda.
Well, you know, this same leadership is propelling us in this war in the Middle East, in this usurpation of this country's sovereignty, and they're talking now about moving into Iran, and they're also talking about the greater Israel being formed as a result of these conflicts, and they're killing American young men over there in their behalf, and we haven't even come to grips with the reality of that in our country. How are we going to put this whole thing together for these folks? The American public doesn't seem to be catching on to just how duped they've been, Ted.
Well, what we have to do is exactly what I'm doing right now. It's seizing the advantage when it is presented to us. I seized the advantage when Jerry Falwell intimated to the American public that Jews were behind the Last Temptation film. I seized the advantage when 11 Christians were jailed in Philadelphia a year and a half ago by the district attorney of Philadelphia, who is Lynn Abraham, a top honcho in the ADL. I seized the initiative when the hate bills of the ADL have come before Congress. And here I'm doing the same thing with this blasphemous new sitcom, which is on every Friday night on NBC. We have to, one of my favorite heroes and guides is Manfred von Richthofen, the Red Baron. He was asked why he stayed in the air for so many years while his fellow German aviators went down in flames. And he says, I never attack, he says, until I'm in a clear position of advantage. And that's why I'm calling on talk show hosts, pastors, and so on to take this position of advantage now, turn the tables against the evil Jewish media moguls and identify them clearly so that it will embarrass the Jewish community, so that the Jewish community will put pressure on their brethren in Hollywood to pull back.
Well, you know, it sounds like a plan, but I think our clock is ticking here, Ted. I mean, these folks are megalomaniacs, and they're violent to a point of sickness. I've identified 100 million murders directly related to what they did in the last century, Ted.
Oh, absolutely. But on the other hand, their very success makes them vulnerable because they become overconfident.
Well, their hubris will bring them down. And also trying to pick fights with people who don't knuckle under. And that's another way that they're going to go down. Ladies and gentlemen, Daryl Bradford Smith. We'll be right back with more from Ted Pike and your calls if you'd like. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Daryl Bradford Smith, your host today on The French Connection. Now we got another great half-hour talk radio ahead here with my guest Ted Pike. We have a call, Ted, coming in from Arizona, and we got another one coming from Chicago just after that. Mike from Arizona, you have a question for Ted today or a comment?
Hi, Daryl and Pastor Pike. A couple quick comments. If you're out there and you engage these people in verbal warfare, be prepared, because these guys are pros at this. Many of them are very good at making, non-Jews look small, look bigoted, look foolish. So get yourself prepared. And by that I mean put on the full armor of Christ. And I know Pastor Pike knows what I'm talking about. Make sure your motives are pure. Make sure that you're not out there just to slur Jews because they happen to be Jews. But make sure you're accusing the right people of the right crimes.
Well, I've made an important commitment to doing that each show, and
I know you have.
And in order to carry this message the way I have, I can't do it any other way because I say a full one third of my closest friendships in the world come from this particular community. Why? I lived in New York so long, and it just is awful idea to me to think that these people would be painted with a brush of hate that these people are putting forth in the world, and they're not certainly not that type of people, and that's why I am so careful about that.
Yeah, really, but even then, you can't be too careful because I I remember the story of David Irving, the author and one of the probably the world's greatest historian of World War II history. But he was communicating with a Jewish colleague of his, someone who he considered a friend, and he was passing on some notes and information that he was gathering about the alleged Holocaust and some discrepancies that he was seeing. And this man, who he thought was just an objective collaborator, was in fact taking all this information, passing it on to Jewish authorities, and it was all eventually used to discredit Irving and to make him look like a bigot. And right now, Irving, of course, as many of you may not know, is in a prison in Austria on trumped-up charges having to do basically with thought crimes.
But well, one of the reasons, not surprised, and that's only the beginning for these people, Mike.
One of the reasons
Ted a chance to answer some of this.
Yes, my position is that I really don't need disclaimers. I have a rock-solid basis for everything I say, not only in the scholarship. I have studied extensively the Babylonian Talmud as well as the Zohar and so on. But I also come from a biblical perspective, which is very similar to the old Hebrew prophets and John the Baptist and Christ, in which I do believe that the Jewish people have a destiny. God has an unfinished destiny for a remnant of Jews in the fullness of time, when out of very great tribulation and disillusionment, a remnant, a third of the Jewish people will repent and look upon him whom their fathers pierced. As Jesus comes in glory in the skies in his second coming, he will restore them. He will accept their repentance and contrition, will bring them back to Palestine, allowing them to enter Palestine in the first really legitimate return in the last 2,000 years. You see, so I have a light at the end of the tunnel here. I believe that Jews and Judaism have gone into a deep slump of apostasy and darkness because of that fateful decision 2,000 years ago to follow the leaders of the Pharisees. But God does love the Jewish people. He does. He has predestined a Jewish remnant to be restored to divine favor at his second coming. Now, what I'm doing basically is I'm fulfilling what Paul, the Apostle Paul, in the book of Romans said. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire is that Israel be saved." And I'm interested in saving the Jews not only spiritually, if they will come to Christ, but I'm also interested in saving them physically, and specifically I want to save them from the anti-Semitism and the bad press, the tarring of the brush of anti-Semitism, which the ADL, B'nai B'rith, people bring against the Jewish people.
That is exactly right, and that's what I'm worried about with the people that I care about, that they're going to get swept up in a steamroller of hatred.
Exactly.
That they, of not of their making, Ted.
Yeah, you know, the chief rabbi of Great Britain came out with a statement this week in which he says he fears a tsunami wave of anti-Semitism coming around the world, largely as a result of shortwave, the Internet, and so on. And I agree with him. I believe there's a tremendous potential for the average Jew to be victimized and viewed with disdain and contempt and even persecuted, perhaps in Eastern Europe, in the years and decades ahead.
Well, I'll put my body in front of that kind of fighting, because that won't happen around me.
That's right. That's the reason I'm going after these evil Jewish leaders.
That's
because
right.
Even to this very moment, people are catching on. People in New Zealand and Finland and Holland and Canada are catching on that these evil Jewish leaders of ADL, B'nai B'rith, are taking away their freedoms, are throwing Christian pastors into jail and so on, and they're adding up two and two and saying, well, it's the Jews that are behind this, the Jews in a collective sense. Well, that's not true. It's these evil Jewish leaders who are leading many misguided Jews and the flock of Israel in the wrong way, but it's primarily these evil Jewish leaders and their Talmud and Kabbalah that I'm going after in an attempt to tone down anti-Jewish feelings and allow the Jews to fulfill their mandate given to them by Jeremiah from God to live at peace among the nations. And I believe that I have a duty to help preserve the Jewish people from persecution in the years ahead in order that I may be, might deliver them to Jesus Christ and his persuasions at his second coming.
Well, you know, Ted, that is a hope of many of us out here fighting this same fight. And, Mike, you have another follow-up for that?
I do. One of the reasons that Jews have been so successful at infiltrating our society and Western society in general without people recognizing the extent of their influence is because they have a habit of changing their names depending upon which society they've infiltrated. For instance, we all know of Leon Trotsky, one of the leaders of the communist takeover of Russia. A real name. He lived a fair amount of his life in New York. The real name was Levi Bronstein. Karl Marx was actually Mordecai Marx Levy, the son of a rabbi. Nikita Khrushchev, real name Perlmutter. Mikhail Gorbachev, who's now ensconced in the out in the old Presidio out in San Francisco. God help us. What used to be a prestigious military base. His real name is Khan. You know, some of the advisors of our Homeland Security, my goodness, General Yevgeny Primakov is actually Pincus Finkelstein, and this man is helping direct the new identity card that we're all going to have to carry at some point.
Yeah, this is pretty frightening stuff, Michael. And can you send me a list of those people to my email address, please, with those names?
Yeah, you bet.
Thank you very much. When
all
we
right,
come back,
care.
We've got Christopher from Chicago. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, more from the French Connection. And ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Daryl Bradford Smith with you here today on this Wednesday. We got Ted Pike as my guest, and we're going to bring up another caller, Chris from Chicago. Chris, you got a question for Ted?
Hi, Daryl. Hi, Reverend Pike.
Hi, Chris.
You were speaking about Iran and about Babylonians, and I'd like to tie that together, if I may, with the story of Esther and the story of the King Cyrus of Persia.
Yeah.
The Persians actually freed the Jews from the Babylonians and helped them to rebuild Jerusalem and restore their people. So Jews and Iranians have had a working relationship for a long time, and it's tragic to see that relationship manipulated to the detriment of the Iranian people. Now, this is not unprecedented. Mordecai and Esther infiltrated the Persian government and got another king of Persia to commit genocide against the enemies of the Jews. And we were discussing Purim, and that's the story of Purim. And I'm wondering if the Reverend sees any parallels between the current president of Iran, who is beating the drums of war and trying to foment the situation to create war, and if he believes that he's actually working with the Mossad and with the Israelis to provoke a war.
Well, the truth of the matter is that Islamic secret societies have existed for, 1,300 years at least. And in Nesta Webster's monumental book, Secret Societies and Subversive Movements, this is a renowned book which was praised by Sir Winston Churchill. She describes how the Knights Templars received tremendous education in Illuminism, Kabbalah, and so on, actually from Muslim Islamic conspiratorial organizations. There was the Old Man on the Mountain and his assassins, and so on. And she makes the case that Islamic secret societies, which are basically anti-Islam, have existed clear into the 20th century. Now, it seems a little opportune, a little strange, that just practically the same week that David Irving and these other Holocaust reductionists have been indicted or shipped over to Germany or put in an Austrian prison, that the president of Iran comes out with this extreme statement linking together a support of Holocaust revisionism with driving Israel into the sea and so on. It would not, I do not take that at face value. I am very suspicious, basically, of any political and religious leader today. There are too many, you know, you had an ad here several times on this segment by Tex Mars from his book Codex Magica, which he sent to me as a compliment, and that is full of evidence that Masonry permeates all leadership, regardless of what ideology. It permeates Zionist leadership. It also permeates, I believe, Islamic leadership. So we can't trust that kind of authority, I don't think.
Well, but here's the interesting thing, too, Ted. You know, first of all, anybody calling for a revisionist examination, you would never trust an enemy of the Israeli state to do that investigation fairly anyway. So to for them to say they're going to have an investigation like that from the outset is disingenuous.
Yes. Well, I'm suspicious of that. I know certain Holocaust revisionists have actually are going over to Iran now and contributing to that, but
big
I think that's pretty risky business.
I think it's a big mistake. I think it's the wrong thing to do, and I think it'll play into the hands of these folks in major ways, and I think it's intentional. What do you think, Chris?
I think so, and I think we have another parallel in history with the Young Turks and the involvement of Jewish Kabbalists in Turkey for centuries upon centuries, creating secret societies in Turkey that then went back out into Europe and fomented wars and eventually resulted in the overthrow of the Sultan after the Rothschilds bankrupted him intentionally.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Well, you know, all of this stuff is it's not in our history books, ladies and gentlemen, and one of the hardest things to do when you're starting to try to look at some of this stuff is not to become mired in what these same people will throw at you to divert you from where this truth leads you. And that's happening now in ways that I could never even imagined just some short weeks ago. The nonsense, guy, Christopher, that's coming out on, you know, that they're hitting us with. I mean, of course, they're saying we've got Jesuit assassins running around. As far as I know, half the Jesuits are in their 70s, as far as I know. And I don't think they're sneaking around the world doing assassinations these days. It goes beyond anything rational, and yet they push it almost down people's throats. If you take a look at some of the websites, the Black Pope and this and that, and I'm trying to battle this kind of disinfo and trying to clear the fog a little bit so people can maybe take a peek at some of these other important documented information. And it's a slog, isn't it?
Well, I think, Daryl, that we have to be very careful about disinformation now because alternative talk radio, primarily the Genesis Network and Republic Network and so on, are becoming very, very powerful as an opinion-making not only in the United States and Canada but around the world. And it is to be expected that super sensational conspiracy theories will be brought in, and we have to really give those things the third degree. We have to take them through the rational process, the documentation process, and see if they're really worth dramatizing, because we have real legislative, practical legislative actions we can take, like defeating the hate bill, defeating Homeland Security, the Patriot Act, and things like that.
Yeah.
Very definable problems and threats to our liberties. And if we get too many conspiracy theories going around, everybody's just distracted, and the energy is drained off.
You're spot on that, Ted. And I thank you, Chris, for calling and sharing your thoughts, my friend. Ladies and gentlemen, when we return, we have a final segment with Ted Pike. And ladies and gentlemen, great example of the creativity of the American spirit with the beautiful jazz there, Ted. Reverend Ted Pike is a friend and a colleague in this battle with me, and I'm honored every time you come on, Ted, because this is a tough fight, and it's a lonely place for me to be sometimes because, you know, I tell you something, we're not numerous yet, and we haven't made that big jump in the numbers yet as far as getting the support we really need, but that will come because the truth rings true, and as time goes on, we're just going to end up taking our true position in this thing and having the support we deserve. What's your take on that, Ted?
Well, I'm certainly honored to be on your program, Daryl, and you and I are literally putting our lives on the line,
yep.
being the cutting edge. We're on the crest of the wave here, going basically before most of your fellow talk show hosts in getting to the essence, the substance of what is really wrong with our society and our nation today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what will happen is if you and I continue to fight the good fight and speak the whole truth without diminishing a word, as God told the ancient prophet in the Old Testament, that others will come along and begin to say the same thing, because there'll be such public pressure to give the same kind of truth that they're hearing on the French Connection.
Yeah. Well, it's already happening, and I want to give everybody another opportunity. Your email's coming out. It is castigating in very strong terms the leadership of NBC for polluting the airwaves with this abomination they're calling a summary of the Daniel character in our Bible. And the fact is, look forward to this in your email box, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be out with Ted. And Ted, you want to give them the email address?
Yes, people can come to Truth Tellers. That's www.truthtellers.org. I will have my latest article email alert up on the front page, the home page of truthtellers.org tonight. We have a special little box there where you can sign up for my weekly email alert. This goes out to roughly 200 talk show hosts every week, and you can have exactly the same information arriving at your home free of charge. We also have a number of video documentaries discussing all of these things we have been considering today. The tons of articles, short, powerful, brief articles that well documented on the hate crimes issues, Zionism problems, Jewish media, and so on. It's well worth a visit to truthtellers.org.
Well, you know, Ted, I will be inviting you back on in a short time, because this thing is a developing story. It keeps growing and moving in ways that I can't predict quite so easily. So you know, your take on these issues is always welcome here on the French Connection. And I've been standing side by side with you for a year, over a year now. My year anniversary has just passed, and you were one of my first guests last year, in fact. So we've got a long history together, and I hope to have a long history in the long future with us together on the French Connection. So, ladies and gentlemen, Reverend Ted Pike, thanks again. Thank you for listening today to the French Connection. We'll be back tomorrow with the Secretary General of the United Nations for the Mission in Iraq.